sir. Y'all know what it is, man. This is King Me Pod. And guess what, y'all? We got a guest tonight. He's no stranger to rhythm, resilience, and real talk. He's a proud Wilson High School alumni, where he marched to the beat of the school band, and he kept that same energy all the way to South Carolina State University, repping the Bulldogs and blowing the crowd away as part of their legendary band. Music runs deep in his blood. He comes from a talented family and musician, but what really set him apart is how he used his voice to bring healing to the culture. He's the host of the powerful podcast, Heal to Feel, where he dives into real conversation about men healing, growing, and becoming their best selves. Pause. And yes, the latest episode of Heal to Feel is out right now on YouTube, so run it up after this. He's a dope black man, amazing father, and someone who using purpose and passion to push the culture forward. Welcome to the show, TJ, Mr. Heal to Feel himself.
Oh, man, thank you. Thank you, man. Man, I always get kind of besides myself, man, when I get introduced, man, just to hear people speak of me in that way, man. I've spent a lot of time just healing, feeling, living, giving, making mistakes, man. So it's always good to be recognized and acknowledged as the person that I am and desire to be.
Yes, sir, man. Listen, man, you know, we kind of go way back. I think I remember we was at McLeod Fitness. I think I gave you and your brother some buckets that day, too. Refresh my memory. I think I did.
I don't remember it exactly like that. Yeah. Nah, you know what I'm saying? You was out there, though. No lie. I think, man, what really, like, cemented it, man, was, man, your daughter, man, to be real.
Yeah.
Because, man, I started out as a, I was one of her after school care instructors, man. And I don't know, man, we just connected. Just seems like instantly, man, I guess, just seeing another black man, you know, just taking the responsibility of being a father, man, and not even realizing that, you know, one day that'll be me.
Yeah.
And even when we saw each other at Walmart, you know what I'm saying? Just saying, like, yo, it's crazy how the more things change, it kind of stays the same. You're still a father.
Yeah, I'm still a father.
I'm a new father.
Yeah.
Well, not new, but well, you've been longer than me, so I'm still, you know, learning. So, man, yeah. That's what I was saying. And even at GE.
Yeah.
man, like, that's another thing, man. So it seems like we always stay connected, man. And it's like we watched each other just evolve.
Yeah.
And the things that we talked about at GE, it's like manifesting, bro.
Yeah.
And that's what's beautiful about this whole thing.
It is, man. You said a whole lot, man. One of the things, I've been watching you for a little minute, you know what I'm saying? And, the evolution. You, man. And sometimes you don't really recognize and realize as a man, I ain't even gonna put black man, but as a man, how much changes, you know what I'm saying, we make throughout life, you know what I'm saying? And now you're different from when I first met you, because you ain't had your son doing that time. But you've been around kids, you know what I'm saying?
Practically, man. I've been around kids for a long while, all age ranges, man. And this is my distinct memory of me when I first started doing dealing with kids was we had a summer feeding program.
Yeah.
And I would go over to the west side for breakfast and lunch and would feed the kids, man, and just sit down with them and just speak to them. And they taught me about the things that they go through, man. And even to this day, I got kids that work at Walmart up the way, man. And like, it's just like, it's still the same thing. And just to watch that. And just even so on the other side of what it means or what it looks like when you don't.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Take the right road, quote unquote. Because, man, like, even more recently, I just found out one of the kids died.
Oh,
man. He wasn't even like 15 years old, man. So your choices, man, in life. You pick your choices, but you don't pick your consequences, man. That's one of the biggest things that I'm learning.
Man, listen, you know Pete Barbershop.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Man, listen.
Shout out to Pete, man.
Yeah, shout out to Pete. Yeah, he been a pillar in the community for a long time, man. For real.
Word. I remember the $7 haircuts on Tuesdays.
Yeah.
That's what I remember as a kid. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So every Tuesday, we going to Pete's, bro, to get a barber, but get a cut, man. $7.
Man,
that's
listen. That's what I remember. But Pete, listen, man. He's pretty dope, man. Matter of fact, he got me as one of his assistants with mentoring kids. And so we do it every other Monday. You know what I'm saying? But every other Monday we do mentorship.
And I've been
doing that for about 8 months now with Pete. But I brought it up to say this. Basically, man, you see all types of stuff, man. These kids go through so much, bro. You know what I'm saying? And you know, you won't really realize. You know what I'm saying? I guess as a parent, you know what I'm saying? We look at things one way, but man, we don't realize these kids have real life feelings.
Oh, yeah,
you
know what I'm saying? Sure.
And I mean, sure. a lot of the stuff they don't really actually understand, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, one of the things just being kind of shadowing Pete, I realized, you know what I'm saying? These kids need a lot of discipline, you know what I'm saying? A lot of structure, you know what I'm saying? And that's one of the things we've been kind of heavily, especially during the summer, you know what I'm saying, about, you know, being mindful of the crowd you around, who you connected to, you know what I'm saying, all that stuff, especially during the summer, because most of the tiny kids, they don't have much to do but get in trouble.
Yeah, man, it's a free-for-all almost, man. And even hearing you say that, man, like, my Mondays are free, so I'm like, I try to take up as much time as I can with my days, man, because when you're idle, you know, the thoughts start coming in and you just, you know, can be all over the place. So, man, like, that's something I'm definitely interested in, man. And even my barber, it's amazing, man, how important barbers are.
Yes, sir.
In our community, man, like.
They real life therapists.
What? What, bro?
Real life therapists,
bro,
yo.
Listen, my barber, we graduated together, man, and I didn't become close to him or close with him until, you know, he started cutting my hair on a regular basis, man. And what started off as, man, let me just support my classmate. Man, I was just over there last week, and he was like, man, you look mad. And like, man, I kind of took that personal because, like, I'm like, bro, I ain't even mad. I said, man, let me go turn my car off, man. Let me go sit down with you and let you know, man, I'm chilling. But, like, what you're saying is the exact same thing that he said, man, about kids needing an outlet, kids needing discipline, or just having someone to talk to. And, like, the kid told him, and it didn't break my heart, man, but it just made me think about how important we are to the community. He's like, man, I talk to you more than I talk to my therapist.
Wow.
What? Yeah, he said, man, when I go to my therapist, man, I just sit there and, like, listen at him.
Yeah.
He said, but, man, when I come to you, you don't make me feel like I'm being judged or I feel seen and heard, you know. And this guy or this kid, man, he's had a rough life, man. I'm not going to get into details, but, man, we're needed. And that's what I told him. I said, man, it's not even about us being parents more than it is, or it's just important to be a parent to another kid, or especially a boy, just as much as we are to our own child, man. Right. Because everybody doesn't have the luxury, man. I still have my dad to this day, and everybody doesn't have that, or even have the opportunity to be in communication with their dad, man. And those things are just hurtful, man. And when we do that, or when they lack that, man, it's just like a free-for-all, man, and the kid was just getting in all kind of troubles. But luckily, man, by the grace of God, man, his maternal grandfather, man, and grandmother, man, they took him in and just, man, just turned the situation around, man. So, man, what you guys are doing, man, I love it, bro. And, like, however I can be a part of it, man, we'll talk about that later.
Yeah. We definitely going to tap in. But so – since we're talking about this, since we're going down this lane, man, do you see a lot of yourself in your son?
Man, Myself now, yes. But like growing up, man, no, man. Me and my son are complete opposites, man. I wasn't much of a talker. My family thought I was a mute, you know what I'm saying? Because I would just, I guess, observe a lot. It's not that I didn't have anything to say. And a lot of times, too, I didn't feel like I was really seen. And that's something that I kind of discussed, man, in my podcast episodes, is being seen as my own person.
Right.
You know, my brother, man, he's very accomplished, man. Like, just within high school, college, and just in life, man, he won the Tiger Award, you know, and he's went down to FAMU, all this, that, and the third. And, like, I was always seen as Gerard's little brother. You know, and it's not, and I love my brother, man, with everything in me, man, but at the same time, it's like, yo, I don't feel seen.
That's a real thing. So I know Gerard, the older brother. So you the middle?
No, it's just me and him. It's just me and him.
So you the baby.
Yeah.
Listen.
2 years apart.
That's a real thing, man. Cause in my family, I'm the oldest.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
And so I got a.
Oh, dad, your brother, man. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, right behind me.
Okay.
So he the Miller brother. And some of the things that he do make me realize, like, I think he felt the same way, too. You know what I'm saying? That he ain't never been seen. You know?
Yeah, man, that's a big struggle.
And also, I think, I also believe, you know what I'm saying, it was a little silent competition, too. Between the both of us. You know what I'm saying?
Damn, you just put that in my... Hey, that's for real, though. I feel that, too. I feel that in a real way.
He's trying to make a name for himself. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you know.
And being as accomplished as, I mean, you are my brother, man, it's just like, yo, how can I get my toe in the door?
Yeah.
I ain't even want to work on my foot in the door yet. Let me just get my toe in the door. But more recently, man... I mean, I'm gonna get back to my son. It just seems like, man, I'm just being seen in a different way. Even my dad, he's like, yo, growing up, he's like, man, you the one that wouldn't talk, and Gerard would be doing all the talking. He's like, man, it's like the other way around now. I said, man, shoot, I got some years to catch up. It's been some, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And he's more the silent observer. And you know, I'll talk, you know, but. Even I tell him, I was like, bro, if anything go down, if you got something to say, man, don't say it, man. You a little bit more of a public figure than I. So you'll be seen as a little differently than I. But, man, back to my son. Man, my son is just so bright, man. He's not afraid of just being himself. And that's one thing I pride myself on, is just being yourself authentically. And even while he was growing up, while he was younger, man, my parents would be like, man, he's too free. He's too free. I would say, man, like, why would he be bound?
Right.
Why would he be bound? Like, the world is his oyster right now. Like, this is him becoming himself into his own. And I think upbringing is a big part of becoming who you are, too. And finding out your beliefs are really not even finding out your beliefs, but... being indoctrinated into what you should believe. And, man, even in therapy, I went to therapy last week, and he was saying, man, always question your beliefs, because a lot of times what you think you believe, you don't really believe, but it's because that's what you've been taught to believe,
right?
That you want to associate with that. So, man, I've been just instilling just, man, so much life into my son, man, and taking up as much time as I can because he doesn't live with me. And that's something that I've had to, you know what I'm saying, deal with. That was something very hard for me to deal with initially. But seeing it now is just like, man, that just means I got to put more effort into, man, my son, and making sure that he understands what it means to be your own person and be a person of good character, have good integrity, be a person of integrity. And things like Taekwondo, man, like those things, man, instill those things. It's like a double down for him, man. So, yeah, he's his own person, man. And he always says, Dad, I want to be smart like you. I say, son, you already smarter than me at 7 years old. Because, like, what I'm learning now, man, you learning at 7 years old, bro, the things that I learned later on in life.
Right.
You learning right now. So imagine when you get to be my age. I'll be 34 in a couple weeks. And I'm just starting to, you know, be like, okay, man, I'm gaining my foot, and I'm being acknowledged, and I'm understanding who I am and re-meeting myself in a sense, man, and just returning back to who I was before I was just so, broken.
Yeah.
Broken and by life and by different indoctrinations and whatever the case is, man. So, yeah, my son is my world, man. He was like, man, Dad, I want to come with you.
Right.
I was like, man, you know, you stay with your mom, so you can't come, but I'm scheduled for another podcast. Yeah. I'm like, yo. He's like, can I come to that one? I said, man, I already made sure you can come, man. So yeah, you'll be there with me, man.
Yeah.
All right. So it's a beautiful thing.
That he wanna be Ryan.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, Dad, you say a whole lot, man. One of the things I had wanna back up and acknowledge. You know how I think this month right here is mental health month, right?
Of course.
Right, for men. And so some of the things, like I have a son too as well. And the way I raise him, in a place, the way I kind of look at it is all my insecurities and stuff like that.
Mm.
I try to do the opposite. It's like some of the things that some of the things I didn't like about myself, you know what I'm saying? I had wanted to raise him in a different light, you know what I'm saying? And sometimes sometimes I look at certain things and just as a man, period, man, sometimes we don't know how to be like, you know what I'm saying, bro, you doing good, you know what I'm saying? And one of the things is I beat myself up, you know what I'm saying, about certain things, because sometimes I don't be knowing I be doing good or not, you know what I'm saying? You know, especially like with my son, some of the things they do, and then somebody remind me, bro, he only 12 years old. but some of the things I realized, like confidence, because the way I was raised, I wasn't, how can I say this, man, without.
Be real.
Yeah, okay.
Be real.
Well, the way I've been raised, you know what I'm saying, I've been raised with a lot of self-doubt, you know what I'm saying, a lot of.
You had a lot of positive reinforcement.
Yeah, right. And I, you know what I'm saying, I didn't, it created a lot of low self-esteem within me, you know what I'm saying? So I wasn't confident about doing certain things, in which it created me to second guess certain things. So when my son, you know what I'm saying, my son, anything he want to do, bro, let's do it.
Yeah, for sure.
Even if he, you know what I'm saying, like basketball, you know what I'm saying, when we start off with basketball, you know, like, you know what I'm saying? If he was doing some stuff, I had to catch myself too, man. I was completely hard on him, training him for basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And then he hit me with, he said, the way I'm doing it the way I think it's best for me to do it. You know what I'm saying? And then even at that age, bro, I was sitting here thinking, like, dang, like I'm putting my own doctrine on him.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. And based off of how I was raised.
Come on now.
You know what I'm saying? And I ain't realized that.
And then even more so, you doing that, not even really aligned. You weren't aligned with how you were raised anyway. That's not how, you know what I'm saying, you thought you wanted to receive, you know what I'm saying, the love. So that goes back to how we go back to doing what's comfortable, man. Like, you know, and it's hard to break away from what's comfortable for us, man. But hey, I'm here to tell you, man, you're doing good. And now this is what I always tell myself. As my son grows up, as I'm watching him grow up, he watching me grow up too. So I'm not gonna put a level of expectation on, man, my son that's so hard that it's just, he seems like it's unreachable. You know, and even God had to deal with me in a way in regards to that, man. I want to say he was like 3 or 4 years old, man. And man, you know, my son is bright. He's a bright kid, far beyond his years. And I got on him about something, man. And on the ride home, I remember this clear as day, dog. God said to me, he said, why you treating him like he an adult? That's a kid at the end of the day. He said, I don't care how long he been on this earth. That's still a kid. I don't care how much you think he knows. That's still a kid at the end of the day. Even more so, that's my child. So you need to check yourself on what you're expecting from him, no matter how old he is. And from that day forward, bro, man, it's just like, I submit, bro. And I'm not so hard on him. I still give him what I believe he needs. It's like I'm guiding him more than I'm just trying to tell him what to do.
Yeah.
I guide him. Cause it's things, even with myself, it's things that I know to do that I don't do. And I'm 33 years old. So why would I expect a 7-year-old to be so consistent?
Right.
And, you know, things at that age, because I feel like, or he's always told, oh man, you an old man in a young body, but that's still a kid, bro. And I want my son to enjoy childhood. Man, my dad said, you're going to spend a whole lot more time being older than you are younger.
Man, that's fast.
So I tell my son, I say, hey man, don't be so ready to jump off the porch. Cause once you're off the porch, it ain't so easy to get back on it, bro. It ain't so easy to get back on it. So enjoy being a child. Enjoy being a child, man. And I believe the biggest challenge in regards to just being a parent is going through those stages, man, of okay, he's old enough he should be able to understand this. Or I have to be a little harder in this area. Mm-hmm. I can't be so graceful in this area because I have to move up. Like after a while, he gonna be 10. He about to be 8 in September. In my head, like, that's too close to 10. So that's the next challenge. Like, what do I think a 10-year-old should be doing, should be aware of? So, man, just that's know that you're doing good, bro.
That's pretty tough though, man, cause you know, like I give you an example, man. Like, okay, when I was 12, I had a level of responsibility. I had 3 other siblings I had to be responsible for.
Man, I knew that was like you being a dad before you was being a dad.
And I didn't, you know what I'm saying? Honestly, I had a childhood, but I don't remember a whole lot of my childhood because a whole lot of responsibility was on a 12-year-old. Mm. And so my son now at 12, you know what I'm saying? And sometimes I had to check myself because I, like, when I was 12 years old, I was doing this, that, and the third,
yeah.
Man, he's still, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like he's still at kind of somewhat babyish in a sense, you know what I'm saying? But you know, at the same time,
different circumstance.
Yeah, different circumstances, man. That's why I kind of realized it's still tough though, man. But let's pivot a little bit, TJ. Let's pivot. Yeah. Let's talk about Hill to Feel, man. How you came up with that dope name? How you came up with that, man? And say, hey, listen, Hill to Feel, I'm gonna do a podcast. You know what I'm saying? How you came up with that?
Your
motivation.
Man, first off, man, shout out to the Tissue Box Podcast, man.
Tissue Box Podcast,
man. That's the first opportunity that I ever had to be in front of a camera or a microphone other than my own.
Yeah.
So big shout out to those ladies, man.
Yeah.
And they still have yet to have anybody do it better than y'all Tissue Box Podcast. Man, they show me so much love, bro.
Right.
Bro, they show me so much love, I can't even begin to explain. But
I almost forgot about that, man.
Man, it's just really, really, man, it just started with, man, my last relationship, bro.
Right.
With my son's mom, man. And the amount of things, man, that I put myself through and realizing that it wasn't her fault. more than it was my own.
You got to go in details with that, man. That sounds like some lyrics to that.
Man. And I always, you know, man, I have a good friend of mine. Shout out to Slim West.
Yeah.
You know, I love your boy. He always tell me, say, man, if you're going to tell it like it is.
Yeah,
tell it all. And, and man, just, this is how it happened, man. She got deployed, you know, for like a year. And initially, she wanted her mom to take care of my son for that whole year, man. And I like, nah, bro, like, you know, nah, like, we ain't doing that. Like, that's my son, take care of him, whatever. And we weren't in a good place, you know what I'm saying, relationally. And I'll say that. But as she was away, I, you know, let her know, like, hey, man, like, when you get back, you know, like, I feel like we should really, like, get this junk right, get it together. And she was, you know what I'm saying that she was ready for that, ready to do that.
So when you say, like, do that, like, get back together.
Well, get back together, or, okay, you know what I'm saying, be on that road to being married.
Okay.
Because, I mean, that's just what I envisioned for us, you know. Despite all of that, man, it wasn't so bad to where it was like, bro, I can't deal with you at all. You know what I'm saying? But when she got back, man, it just took a turn, man, for the worse, bro. And I realized even while she was down there, man, she was dealing, like, doing her own thing, bro. And the more I really think about it, bro, I thought about it, I was like, bro, you ain't really like me, dog. You ain't really like me, you ain't really love me. So I would go down there, went down there for my birthday. This is one way I knew for sure. Went down there for my birthday, bro. Tell me why we are going, you know what I'm saying, on that day. We're going to Party City to get decorations. Like, she ain't had nothing together, bro. She ain't had nothing together. And I just wasn't paying attention to the signs whole time, you know what I'm saying? She dealing with a married man, bro. Dealing with a married man this whole time. And when she came back, you know, she was still dealing with that married man, telling me one thing and doing another. Not making herself available. It's some things like I wanted to celebrate her graduating from college, man. She would always brush that off. Just not wanting to be close, man, you know what I'm saying? Or even more so, not wanting to straighten things out, have a straightening or understanding. She just wanted to move past things as if nothing happened.
Yeah.
All right, nothing that she did existed, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's the worst.
Man, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm still being...
You know, that play with your mental right there.
Man, listen.
Boy, you would go through a whole...
Boy, B, look. B, let me tell you something. Dog, it was days I wouldn't eat. It was days I wouldn't eat, bro. And I would wake up with the same thoughts I went to sleep with. I wasn't sleeping at all, bro. My mind was messed up, even to the point where, you know, at that time I worked Walmart third shift. I was working Walmart third shift at that time. And, like, it'll be times where, you know what I'm saying, I'm so messed up in the head. Let me pulling up to the crib, seeing another man, Cardell, but texting me. You know what I'm saying? And saying, like, oh, it's cool. Yeah, you can come, you know what I'm saying? Whenever. And, like, I'm like, yo, let me test that out. So I pull up on my break when I go to Walmart, see a whole nother man, Cardi. I'm like, dang, bro, even more recently, like, she had men around my son that I've never met. And she said, it's not appropriate for you to know who these men are. And I said, oh, but it's appropriate for them to be around my son. And she said, yeah, it's appropriate for them. Even more so to the point where I had to introduce myself. She said, I'll let you know when it's I'll introduce you when it's appropriate. That was a year or two ago. I just introduced myself to this man in March or April. Matter of fact, that was my homework from therapy, dog. My therapist told me to introduce myself, dog. That was in April. I first introduced my, and she got a whole baby. She got a whole baby, had a baby in December.
Yeah, you ain't knew nothing about it.
Never. Let me tell you, bro. Let me tell you. This is how I found out she was pregnant. I was working at a gas station, delivery driver. And a guy that we went to school together, we graduated. He came up to me, he said, "Man, congratulations, man." I'm like, "Yo, like, what?" He's like, "Yeah, congratulations, man. You about to have a new baby, right?" I'm looking like, "Bro, what?" He was like, "Yeah, Wallace pregnant." I'm so far beyond her. I ain't even thinking about her. I'm thinking like, why is he telling me about a classmate that got pregnant? And then it clicked. I was like, oh. I was like, dang, she pregnant? He's like, "Bro, the baby not yours." I say, "Bro, like, I don't know what she telling y'all. If she told y'all anything, but we are so far removed from each other, dog, that she got another baby and I ain't even know." And to this day, the way I found out she was pregnant was I had to drop my son off. She said, "Can you drop him off at this place? Can you drop him off at my baby shower?" That's the first and only time she mentioned her being pregnant to me. So,
wow,
that's just that. And there's so many more things. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So. It's crazy, man. So when you say that mind mess with you, it really does mess with you, bro. And
it's the gaslighting and playing with your feelings.
Yeah, man. And again, like I said, man, all those things were in front of me though, B. And I just wasn't trying to see that. You know what I'm saying? So when I got to that place of like seeing it for what it was, man, instead, fantasy is something that'll destroy you. Your fantasy, your fantasization, it'll destroy you, brother. And if you don't pay attention or you don't come to reality, you'll wake up somewhere you ain't even ready. You can't recognize yourself. I didn't recognize myself. Even my neighbors didn't recognize me. "We see you here, TJ, but you don't look like yourself. What's going on? What's going on?" And instead of being real, I was protecting her. I was being protective of her, bro. And that's another dangerous thing.
You still love her, right? You had still love her during that time. During that time when people were looking at you.
Or even more so, man, it wasn't that more than of my own shame. My own shame.
You had love her more than you love yourself. I mean, basically, that really what it boiled down to.
You hit it.
You allowed yourself to go
down. I went past my stop.
Yeah, you went past.
I went past my stop, and it cost an expensive cost to come back, and that's where Heal the Field came in. That man. What I had to realize though, B, is that yo, you're not what you went through, dog. It was just a moment. And this woman, man, I appreciate women so much for helping me through this time of just becoming myself and re-meeting myself, man. This lady challenged me, man. She was like, "Yo, your chapter only end if you let it. If you want your chapter to end right here with this, bro, keep doing what you're doing. Keep being who you are." But she's like, "Man, I've lived 4 or 5 different lives already. And that's only because I never gave up. I never stopped." And even now, man, it's just amazing how people see me and the response I've gotten from Heal to Feel, man, and the amount of support and love, man. I became a life coach in that time. Just this past 6 months, man, have been so much better than years.
Wow.
Than the years, bro. That I put myself through these last 6 months has been worth it, man. I can't tell you the any lies about it, man. The amount of people that see the light that I radiate and the love and appreciation and just genuine concern is just, man, it allows me to continue to be who I am and be my authentic self. And, man, and another thing, man, God, man, we got to return back to God, bro. You know what I'm saying? And he's been one who's always been there, bro.
Yeah.
He was one that's always been there, man. And like out of all the people that left, and even with the people who stayed, man, God allowed those people to leave, to stay, and God always brought in somebody better. You know what I'm saying? So it's not, if somebody leaves, it's not a loss. It's just God coming to give you somebody better, bro. And yeah, that's the best part about it, man.
Man, I think since we're talking about God, I believe God is the only person. And he ain't a person, but God is the only person that can reach a person at the deepest debt of sorrow, hurt,
hey, for real,
everything. Though. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know nothing else that can actually reach a person at their lowest.
Bro, I couldn't say it better myself. It didn't matter how many people I talked to. Nobody felt me the way God felt me in those times, man. And even shout out to those people who allowed me the space to be a broken record, just repeating the same things over and over. I can't believe this. I can't believe that. This, that, and the third. But, man, God.
Thank God for them people, man. People sleep on, like, me and my baby brother had this conversation about this, bro. Like, he the type of he one of the friends, like, he give you advice, and he just figured that you going to take the advice and just be done with it.
Uh-huh.
Nah, man, it's layers to this thing, man.
It is.
Yeah, you go hear somebody come back because they, you know what I'm saying, they in unbelief, you know what I'm saying, of what just took place, you know what I'm saying? And another thing, too, which my wife helped me realize certain things, too, like, you know, a relationship, a savage relationship, you know what I'm saying, a person grieving. You know what I'm saying? That's grievance right there. You know what I'm saying?
I ain't lying.
Like, because it feel like death.
Because a part of you did die.
Yeah, a part of you did die.
A part of you did die, man. So all that, man, is just a true example of, man, God allowing those people to stay in your life in those moments, man. I've read the book of Job, man, and how important it is to have the right people around you.
Yeah,
having the right people around you when you are going through your season of pain and sorrow. Because in Job, man, Job lost everything, man. Job lost everything that he had. Job was a very, very rich man. You know what I'm saying? Lost his kids. Lost his livestock. Fell sick. Went bald. And, like, his friends are the people around him.
Went bald?
Yeah, he lost his hair.
Oh, man. Okay. I don't know why. I'm sorry for laughing.
No, but that's just it. He did. He did, bro. Joe was down bad.
Yeah.
And Joe, man, and I'm always reminded of this. This is how I look at things now. Job asked his wife, is God not God in the good and the bad? So, like, what's the issue? What's the deal? God is still God.
Right.
Whether it's good or bad. And his friends were just trying to say it was various reasons for him to be suffering the way he did. But Job was an upright man. Job ain't did no wrong. Job didn't do no wrong, man. But his friends, the people that he was surrounded around, were all trying to tell him it's because you are hiding sin or you're not being who you say you are. That's why you're suffering. That's not the case, man. That was never the case for our brother Job.
Yeah.
So I took from that how important it is to have people around you to question the things that you're going through in a real way and try and understand it from the right perspective. And when everything came to a head, man, Job got everything back plus more.
Yeah, he did got it.
You know what I'm saying? So that's the beauty of seeing it to the other side, man, and having those people around you that allow you to grieve, or just be to sit with you, man. Yeah. Cause sometimes you don't want to hear nothing, bro.
Yeah.
You just don't want to be alone. You have yet to master your isolation in your head. Cause I tell a lot of people this, when you're by yourself, that's when it's the loudest.
Yeah, it is.
You know what I'm saying? So that's another thing, man. Everything that I say, man, I just bear witness to. I bear witness to, man. And that whole season of just grieving and losing, man, is worth it, man. I'm gaining it all back. Yeah. I'm doing things more than I have done them before, man. And those are the things that fulfill me. And that's who I desire to be. So that's the beautiful part about it.
You find your purpose in your pain. Boy, dang.
And that thing, like, for real, but that's how it worked, though.
Yeah.
That's how it worked, though, because you're not who you think you are.
Yeah.
You're not who you think you are, B. And that's a tough pill to swallow in of itself. It is. Even right now, the person that I am, I was challenged a couple weeks ago in regards to certain fixed mindsets that I have in regards to, you know, how I see things and what I believe in and what I'd align myself with. So even with that gives me a chance to expand and give space and allow space. Even when it comes to men's mental health, man, I see people on like social media just say, man, they don't care about men. And well, even more so, man, let's prepare to get nothing for Father's Day. I'm like, bro, like, what greater gift, man? What greater gift do you want than to actually just be a father? And one thing my brother always says, say, man, what are you going to do when the applause stops, or if you never get any applause? Are you still going to be doing that same thing that you was doing? Like, what's your
Absolutely.
Why?
Absolutely.
What's your why? And your why should be closely associated with your purpose. And being a man should be closely associated to what fulfills you and not what society deems a man should be. I'm so glad I freed myself of what society think a man should be, because that society changes, man.
Yeah.
First they want their granddaddy back. Nah, oh man, he ain't got no emotions. To now nah, they want. I seen people say they want a more effeminate man. So society is ever changing, man, and you can't just be performative for the validation of others, man. Because another thing is, like, what you going to do when the stage collapse? Mm. Once your stage collapse and you stop masquerading, are you going to keep dancing on the weak spots? Or are you going to take the time to build a more solid foundation? Yeah. It's your choice, man.
A lot of people, it's so easy. It's so easy to take the easy route. You know what I'm saying? The easy route is something less challenging, you know what I'm saying? They ain't gonna challenge you, you know what I'm saying? And even, or just listening to you talk, bro, like the multiple changes that I had to make,
mm-hmm.
I had to make, you know what I'm saying? Just even being a husband, you know what I'm saying?
Man, I applaud you, bro. That's probably one of my greatest desires, man. But carry on, man. Like I don't take that duty lightly, man, and I look to men like you, my brother, my cousin, yeah, as people who are, you know what I'm saying, men who are upholding the mantle of what it means to be a true husband, man, even in what you believe to be your shortcomings, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, so even with that, man, like, I applaud you, bro, and that's something that I desire to be. But like I tell my brother, man, I have to make sure I'm qualified. I can't just make sure somebody else is qualified for me. I have to make sure I'm qualified for them as well.
Man, that's well, you said a whole lot. I always, you know what, people laugh at me, bro. And I'm gonna say something so crazy. You know what I'm saying? But I tell people what I wish, if I can go back in time, like I keep my virginity and I actually, you know what I'm saying, like, learn myself.
Exactly.
Learn to love myself.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Because in the beginning, you know, like, I chased that thing between that woman's legs. I thought that what it was, you know what I'm saying?
Chasing tail.
Yeah, chasing tail.
Tail chasing.
Yeah.
Yes, Lord. Tail chasing.
And if I was definitely a tail chaser. Man, got me off. Actually, that had got me off purpose. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And so it's like, so when I did got married, met my wife, and then get married, you know what I'm saying? I came into the marriage with a whole lot of baggage, insecurities. And my ego was way up here, you know what I'm saying? And I definitely didn't show what the Bible said, what it means to be a husband, love thy wife as Christ loved the church. You know what I'm saying? So I had fell short of a lot of things.
And gave
his life. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, as a man, you know, just thinking, I realized early on, I created a whole lot of insecurities, and I always thought like rewarding myself was by, you know what I'm saying?
Getting that.
You know what I'm saying? Everything I did was just for that.
For the nookie.
It wasn't because, you know what I'm saying, because I love this person. Not looking for, you know what I'm saying, anything in return, you know what I'm saying? And that's the next level of love, you know what I'm saying? Like a lot of people, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to do this, but I you know, it's almost like a reward system, you know what I'm saying?
Transactional.
So it's like, you know, for me, it's just evolving to, you know what I'm saying, evolving my marriage, my relationship with my wife. It just, and I'm not there yet, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, because I still, you know what I'm saying, still asking God to strip me of my ego, strip me of everything that I thought was, that make me, you know what I'm saying? And allow, you know what I'm saying, and build my foundation on him, you know what I'm saying? So it's like that's a lot of stuff. I mean, I know I said a whole lot of stuff, but really, man, you know what I'm saying? Them shortcomings, if I can go back, I keep my virginity.
Listen here, man.
And that's real talk.
That really is real talk, man. Even right now, bro, I'm not even being sexually active right now, bro. I'm not being sexually active, man. I'm controlling my lust. And even more so, this is where I'm more so working on too. It ain't even about the activity. It's about this right here.
Yeah.
It's about your mind. Your mind is going to create the lust too. So when you on social media and, you know, you see it, you know what I'm saying? What you doing? What you doing with what you see? And like, man, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, man, I'm turning my eye away from it.
I do scroll up.
I'm going to look first, though. I'm going to look. And that's just me being honest.
That's just me being honest.
But in regards to like attaching myself, because that's where I believe, and that's good. That's my question to you. Do you believe that you being so given of your energy in that way played a part into you being insecure and within your marriage? You sharing yourself with so many people. Do you think that played a part into you being insecure, you not being fully secure within your marriage the way that you initially desired to be, or are working harder to be secure? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you think about that, bro? Because that, I think, like, as men, we really do have to do better with controlling our lusts.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
I agree 1,000%, bro. Like, And I share this information right here, man. So during my marriage, you know what I'm saying, early on, my wife her mama ended up getting sick.
Mm.
And she ended up, you know what I'm saying, later on dying, you know what I'm saying, cancer. And so my wife was grieving, man. And I was so, you know what I'm saying, she wasn't in the mood to do really nothing. You know what I'm saying? And I was so selfish, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, men's are fixers. We all try to fix something. Like, how you fix death? You know what I'm saying? You can't fix that. So, you know, so in my mind, you know what I'm saying? Like, months down the line, year down the line, man, you know what I'm saying? I wasn't getting that same energy, right? Where she needed me to be, you know what I'm saying, loving, just holding her and stuff like that.
Intimate, but not in a sexual way.
Not in a sexual way. I mean, she, you know what I'm saying? I wasn't that. Why? because I was looking for her to, you know what I'm saying, give me something. You know what I'm saying? So she wasn't, so the energy was, so she wasn't doing that. So then I just kind of went out.
I just kind of went out,
you know what I'm saying? Real love, because I had needed that interaction. Because that's why I was thinking, you know what I'm saying, my mind relationship was. So I was so selfish during that time, man. But when you think, you know, when we talk about insecure, like I had needed somebody else to fuel my ego.
That's what, you know what it I'm is. Saying? Talk about it. Yeah.
So it's basically like, you know, I had needed that. Well, she wasn't giving me that. So I went out there and looked for somebody else to fuel my ego. It made me feel like a man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that what made me feel like a man. Somebody showing me attention. You know what I'm saying?
That makes perfect sense. And I'll say that to this, man. We can't look at our women as just like an emotional dumpster, dog. That's one thing I'll say when I get into my next relationship. I don't want to lean so much on my woman to where I'm not able to stand on my own. Because like she's a whole person and a whole human outside of me. And that's just facts. Like how you were saying, like, yo, she has needs and things like that. Like, yo, I have to be aware that I can't always look to her, but I also have to find healthy outlets or even challenge myself. You looked at that as a shortcoming instead of like seeing it as a challenge to perfect that level of intimacy,
perfect
dog.
It. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Or to, and not in a place where it's like just without mistakes, but in the form of completion. That's what completion really means. Right. I mean, that's what perfection really means, is to be complete.
Right.
Because there's no way for us to be perfect. You know what I'm saying? But to complete yourself, that was a chance for you to work on that part, your side of yourself. But like you said, that ego, man, that ego.
Ego's something else, bro.
Hey, bro, the ego. The ego, and like it's not bad to have ego, but at the same time, like if you're fueled by ego, if that's your presenting energy, bro, you'll always just be looking for something to say, yeah, man, I'm this, I'm that. And I think as men, that's another challenge for us to accept. Learning when your ego should be presented. And submit yourself, bro. Submit yourself to the spirit. Cause like, man, we know when things ain't really in alignment. Like you felt, I want to believe that you felt in some way, shape, or form that, hey man, like it's something else that she needed. But what I need is more important than what she need.
And add to that, I ain't know how to give it to her.
That's what I'm saying. And the thing is, too, what I realized, and my mom helped me to realize this, dog. Hey, men don't really like to ask for help, dog.
They don't.
Men don't really like to ask for help. Men just believe that, yo, we just supposed to know how to figure stuff out and this, that, and the third. Nah, fam, like, yo.
Pride.
That, you. And you have another energy that you're attached to, man, that can give you a different perspective. But it takes you submitting to that. Just as we would want a woman to submit to us, we have to submit to a woman in regards to the things that that she's able to do. Even with my brother, man, perfect example. My brother like, yo, if my wife tell me, you know what I'm saying, not to do something, or if she feel like something off, he say, bro, I don't do it. He say, bro, it come out that, yo, I shouldn't have did it.
Yeah.
And he don't do it. He like, bro, that, you know what I'm saying? So he listens to his counterpart, bro, and don't say, oh man, you don't know what you're talking about, man, shut up. And now you not only are you digging yourself into a hole, bro, you digging to your whole family into a hole.
Man, just true story. Another true story, man. My granddaddy, he died last year, but, and he's OG, man. I love, you know what I'm saying? I love my granddad. But what happened was, this is before I was born. I was 2 years old during that time. So my grandma told my granddad, my granddad used to drink. She told him, she said, don't go out. You know what I'm saying? Just stay. You know what I'm saying? Stay in the house with the kids. You know what I'm saying? Just stay in the house. My granddad was like, you know, well, I'm going to be right back. So he went, he rode a bicycle and rode to somebody's house. And I ain't even going to say who house he went to, but he rode to somebody's house and got drunk. And on the way back on the bicycle, you know what I'm saying, he came back and somebody had a high beam light on and flashed him. And then he fell in the ditch. And my dad just got home from the military. And, you know what I'm saying, he came home. And then she said, he was like, mama, you know what I'm saying, your husband down there. She said, what he doing down there? Drunk again. You know what I'm saying? Like on some embarrassing junk. Because this, this is something that my granddad always used to do.
It's a common thing.
So when she got down there, she was like, Bobby, just get out that ditch. You know what I'm saying? Get out the ditch. And he said, I can't. He was crying. He ended up got paralyzed from the neck down. He got paralyzed from the neck down, you know what I'm saying? And later on, he was able to work himself into like walking, but he always had a walker. And then as he got older, like his muscles was constricted.
Yeah, frail,
and he couldn't, you know what I'm saying, he couldn't walk. But, you know what I'm saying, going back to your point, should've listened.
See?
And like, so that story right there made me, my wife said, man, don't go out. Hey, listen, I'm listening, yo. I'm listening, yo.
Hey, and what that my uncle say, man, you don't have to touch the stove to know it's hot.
Right.
So like, if you want to touch it, don't be get mad when you get burnt.
Yeah.
But you ain't got to, man, do all that kind of stuff. It's okay, man. It's okay because everything got a cost, man.
Yeah.
And like, I don't want that to be a reason why I can't walk, man. Because my wife or somebody in general just told me, hey, man, you can chill out, bro. Just chill. And I don't listen. And like that just goes to testament of, you know, understanding. Because women do have a particular intuition, man. I mean, I believe men have intuition as well. But it's just a different side of the same coin, bro.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? So either you're going to listen or not listen, man, and the choice is yours at the end of the day. You just got to live with the consequence of it all.
Oh, man.
Live with the consequence.
Man, listen, TJ, man, I hate to wrap this up, bro.
Hey,
it's just so much, bro. But it gotta be another one, man. I gotta look at your schedule.
Here,
it gotta be another one.
I'm here, man. So and I gotta bring you on my joint, man.
Yeah.
That's what we'll do.
Yeah, we'll do that.
This is part one, man.
There's so much that I would kind of want to dive into, man, and go more in details about, you know what I'm saying, here to feel, mental health, everything, man, that got you to this point on this journey, because you're inspiring so many people, man, including myself.
Man, thank you, man.
You know
thank
what I'm saying? You, and, man, listen, shout out your own TikTok and everything else, man.
Heal to Feel, H-E-A-L, the number 2, Feel, F-E-E-L-L-C. That's on TikTok. That's on Instagram. Maybe working on Facebook. I'm really not a social media guy. I'm thinking about like I gotta outsource this kind of stuff, man. You know what I'm saying? But one of my biggest things, man, that I'm gonna wrap it up with this, man, is the best thing we could do, man, is to start. That's the best thing we can do is to start, man. And we oftentimes think we need a particular way that things have to be. Before we start doing things, and that's just not the case, man. You're just only holding yourself back even more. Like, even with the Heal to Feel, man, that's something that has been on my heart for years. Years, man. I bought this mic. I had this mic for years. And never started opening it until this year right here, dog. I had that junk at least 5 years, bro. And that just goes from your mind playing tricks on you and saying like, hey, ain't nobody want to listen to what you got to say. You ain't got what you need. I had everything I need. I got a computer right here. Got my microphone. Got the stuff on my computer, man. So the best thing to do is to start. And if you don't know where to start, ask for help. And I want us to just, as men, just to heal in a real way. Be real with yourself. I think a lot of times when we say, no one cares. No one cares how we feel or what we go through. It just means that we have a shame or a guilt involved in what we've done or what we're doing currently. So that's why we look for escapisms. That's why we go out, party, get drunk, objectify women, sexualize women. It's just because we're not being honest with ourselves, man. So I'm glad to have a community that's included with you in it, man, to be able to give me space and share space for me to man, see how I feel and be open and honest. No matter how much my voice shakes, it's just amazing what your voice can do, because what you realize is you're not the only person going through.
Yes, sir.
You're not the only person that feels how you feel, man. One last thing is you're only facing what other people already met. Mm. And that's just plain and simple, bro. You're only facing what others have already met. So
that's fire. I love it, man.
Reach out, man. Reach out and let's build that community. We can't have anybody create the space for us. We can't be victims to circumstances that we create. We got to create the space, man. Make the space, build the space for what we desire. And I appreciate you, brother. I appreciate the King Me podcast. Man, like you said, so much more for me to say, man, but we can wrap it up. Yeah. I'm going to let you take us on out, bro. I love you, man. Love you.
Love you too, bro. Hey, listen. You already know what it is, man. This is King Me Pod. And to next episode, we out. Peace.